For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Before we get started, support for this podcast comes from Boost with Facebook, whose podcast, Boost My Business with David Fisher, features unique perspectives and insight from business leaders and small business owners. Hear stories and anecdotes about businesses just like yours. Gain insight on what it takes to grow a business and learn from both the mistakes and triumphs of others. Download Boost My Business wherever you get your podcasts. That's Boost My Business Podcast. Before we get started, support for this podcast comes from Boost with Facebook, whose podcast, Boost My Business with David Fisher, features unique perspectives and insight from business leaders and small business owners. Hear stories and anecdotes about businesses just like yours. Gain insight on what it takes to grow a business and learn from both the mistakes and triumphs of others. Download Boost My Business wherever you get your podcasts. That's Boost My Business Podcast.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Chalk Talk. I'm your host, Taylor Davis, joined by McKenna Kelly. We hope you're having a great week and are excited to talk about gymnastics because, boy, do we have a treat for you. You know, we didn't have a guest last week, but we doubled up this week, I'd say.
Truly.
We have one of the most accomplished, respected, well-known gymnasts in U.S. history, Jordan Weber, is going to be joining us to talk. McKenna's freaking out. I'm freaking out. We're both so excited that she is going to talk with us today. She's going to be talking all about her competition days, her time in the sport, different obstacles that she had to overcome, and how those prepared her for the head coach role that she is now in at Arkansas. It's an awesome interview. We're so excited for you guys to listen to it. And that will take up majority of the episode. But real quickly, McKenna and I are just going to run through some notables for the elite and the college world. Make sure you guys are well versed.
It was a big week for gymnastics, I feel like. There was so much going on. Great results from all ends. It's hard to cover everything that's happening, but there was a lot of good gymnastics to be talked about.
I kind of feel like up until now, we've been at like a steady jog, honestly, both elite and college. Like
yeah,
there's been consistent stuff happening. We're in a steady jog, and now we're all about to start a sprint because an NCAA postseason is about to happen, and we are getting closer and closer to Olympic trials and the Olympics. So it's just a lot happening at one time, but a very exciting time nonetheless. So we're going to dive right into a couple storylines on the elite side. Team USA got some big wins this past weekend. We'll go ahead and start with the American Cup, which, in case anyone is not familiar, the American Cup is the USA's most prestigious international event and part of the International Gymnastics Federation's all-around World Cup series. This one has such prestige associated with it, and some really established, successful gymnasts have won this title, including our girl Jordan Weber. Simone Biles is another one. And this year, it went to our girl, Morgan Hurd. This is actually her second American Cup title. And this girl just has such composure. She just has a really unique way of combining elegance and joy with insane execution and bigness. I really love watching her compete. And I think this is a really exciting title to add to her resume.
For sure. And Morgan is a very fierce competitor. I feel like she's kind of just one of those gymnasts who puts her head down and just does the work. I feel like she's vocal when she wants to be, when she feels like this is worth it for me. Like, I follow her on Twitter, and she just, if she's making a point, it's something that seems like she stands for it. It matters to her. And I feel like that's just all around the kind of person she is. So I think her gymnastics has kind of that same way. She's very, very much a statement in what she does. I really think she brings artistry to gymnastics. I think she's one of the gymnasts who kind of like, I want to say like reset the tone for artistry. I feel like for a while, until we added the rule of you can't stand in the corner before you tumble, like you have to like turn and pivot into your tumbling, I feel like we were kind of forgetting that our sport is called artistic gymnastics. And mm-hmm. Morgan is just so beautiful on floor. I remember when she was first and upcoming in the elite world, that's what she was known for. That's why everyone had eyes drawn to her, because she performs. It's truly, she makes it a performance. So she's great to watch. I'm glad that she's coming back strong. I hope she is fully healthy. And I actually saw on Twitter, people are already making their predictions for 2020 for the US team, which I could agree with. Like, yeah, go ahead and do that, just because, you know, our elites are actually, you know, they're getting competition, they're getting their feet wet, and now so you can you can see what they've been practicing and producing. And so Morgan was definitely on people's lists for Tokyo, and I just hope she can stay healthy, because she's a joy to watch.
So if she stays healthy, would you predict that we'll see her in Tokyo?
I would say yes. Okay. Because she's been steady. I feel like she, last year she, you know, was kind of, I want to say hiatus, but just because her injury, but she's coming back strong. And I think that also tells a lot about who she is and how she handles things. Riley McCusker, a lot of people kind of put her under the radar, but she just cannot compete. It seems like she has all the tools in the world, and then she gets to competition and can't put a meet together. And it's so upsetting, because she's absolutely stunning. I mean, she's like another, I mean, obviously her and Lori went to the same gym for a bit, and now that she's training with Jade, hopefully she can kind of rewrite how she competes, and maybe they have a different method for competing. So hopefully she can get it together. I would love to see her on the team.
I think that's a really interesting point about Riley McCusker, and it's going to be interesting to see what happens with her moving forward, because her issues in competition don't make sense when you look at her skills and her talent, but it makes you wonder, was the environment of unhealthy, and was there too much fear associated with competition that she wasn't able to execute to the best of her ability? And maybe now that she's in a different training center and in a more relaxed environment, will she approach competitions differently, or are those ingrained, you know, worries and setbacks that she's always going to have to overcome? I think that's a really unique approach that we'll get to see how she fares, but certainly exciting for Morgan. Like you mentioned, after overcoming injury and kind of some different ups and downs, I think getting this American Cup title at this point has to be a confidence booster for her moving forward, just to kind of reestablish where she is on a national scale, be such a great representative for Team USA in this capacity. And at a time when, you know, all eyes are on these girls in competition atmospheres to kind of decide how they would fare in the Olympics. Super exciting for her. And there's also the results from the Gymnics International that happened this past week. The full results are actually on Team USA's Twitter. There's links there if any of you want the individual titles. But USA won the senior and junior team titles and a total of 10 individual titles. I mean, that's about as good as it gets.
And Michaela rocked it. She came out with gold on vault, gold on bars, Faith Torres, gold on beam, and Michaela, gold on floor. Michaela has so much difficulty here. I must admit, watching her teens, I was a little upset with her form. I feel like, just considering, like, we went, you know, going to college, and we talked to her about this for sure, and she knows form is an issue for her. When she was on the podcast, I had asked her the question, you know, do you think being in the college environment where you're focused on the little details, you have to have good form? Like, do you think that helped you in LA? And she said, for sure. But I do think her nerves got the best of her. And, you know, she was more focused on just kind of making it through and landing her new difficulty in her jam-packed routines. But I'm proud of her. I must say I'm very proud of her, just considering one, this is a huge goal for her, and two, just, I mean, again, we talked about this in her interview with us on the podcast, but she just going from elite to college, back to elite, and then trying to go back again for the, like, she's got a lot on her plate and she's doing it. Like, absolutely, she is doing it, whether it's what she is hoping for or not, like, she is doing it. So I can't discredit her. I can discredit her form, but I'm not going to take away all of her success and the pride that she should be feeling walking out of this meet. I think she knows what she needs to do, go back to the drawing board, clean things up. But she definitely made a statement.
Well, I think that's certainly a benefit to these meets, right? Is here in crunch time for these gymnasts to be able to evaluate themselves in as close to a situation as can possibly be replicated to kind of prepare you for the Olympics. You get the opportunity to kind of see what you put out there, see what you need to work on. Definitely agree. Excited to see kind of how she ties up some different things after this one. Well, real quickly, we're going to touch on just a few things that happened in NCAA this past week. Nothing real drastic as far as the top dogs go. Oklahoma is still sitting in that number one spot with Florida closing in really closely behind. Florida got a 198-1 mm-hmm. on the road against Penn State, which is a huge, huge score because it's on the road, and that right. would fit directly into their already stellar NQS. And a lot of that was in thanks to three perfect scores: Trinity Thomas on floor, Rachel Gowie on beam, and Sierra Alexander got a 9.95 for her Yurchenko full vault, but that's the highest that you can get on a Yurchenko full, so you count that as a perfect score. So they are just, they're ready for nationals. They could literally go tomorrow.
And it makes me nervous because I always love an underdog story. I'm always going to cheer for the underdog. Although I don't know if you could call Florida truly an underdog because yeah. they've got all the bells and whistles. They have, you right. know, they know the experience. They know what to do. But, you know, considering last year, like, I'm proud of them for keeping this mindset. It could have become mundane and they could have become complacent, but it's like, they bring the same tenacity and vision with them to every meet. And that's huge. Just considering you don't know who's hurting. You don't know what injuries they may be facing or what in their lives they're facing. And they're still showing up and doing what Florida does. Also, I want to shout out to Penn State because they got a 196.225. Mm-hmm. I feel like they have been really progressing throughout this season too. That's a great score for them. So that's great too. But Rachel Gowie, she's been knocking at the door for a 10 for a hot minute now. So glad yeah. she got that. Trinity, girl, no surprise. You're just doing Trinity things. So, I mean, you keep doing yep. you. But yeah, Florida, I'm really hoping that we can see, oh my gosh, please just imagine OU and Florida at the national championship right now. Like, they're going to be neck and neck. It's literally going to be like routine to routine.
Well, it makes me think of the Nationals a couple years ago when Christine Peng-Peng Lee literally needed a 10 on beam to win, and yeah. she got it. Yeah. Like, it literally could come down to the very last routine. That's, and honestly, I'm all for it.
Me too. That's what makes it exciting. Like, we've talked about this before. It's not fun watching OU knowing they're going to get a 199.3, you know, against another team. It's just like, yay, they're like yeah. perfect. Like, it's fun yeah. for upsets. Like, that's what makes it exciting.
Yeah, I'm sure Oklahoma fans are out there being like, will y'all shut up talking about Oklahoma losing? It's not that. Listen, I give credit where credit is due, and I for think Oklahoma sure. is a powerhouse. They're a powerhouse for a reason. The talent
they're
that they
so
have
good.
And the way that they approach competition, I have the utmost respect for. Don't even get me started on Maggie Nichols and KJ Kindler. Those two are going to go down in history. But right. I think as a lover of sports, I feel the same way about like, I was right. so glad the Patriots were not in the Super Bowl this year. It's right. not that I hate the Patriots. I just, if we're watching the same thing over and over, what's the fun in that?
Right. Same thing with LSU football. Like, I mean, obviously, guys, I'm going to pull for LSU anything. But, I mean,
yeah, she had to put that in there.
I was thinking, you know, Alabama. They're always top dog in football, yeah. too. And, like, with Clemson coming in and winning, too, and then LSU coming in, like, it's awesome. Those are the things that make you excited. Those are the things that create better fan bases and get things more excited. Because think about it in the sense of, you know, if the national championship, if there's a different winner besides OU, think about what the next season's going to look like. Everyone's going to be pulling exactly. for different teams. Like, that's what creates the fun in things. And it creates bigger rivalries and just more excitement. And fans to sports of all kinds, like those are the things we should be pulling for, because that's what keeps us going. That's, we love the edge on your seat of, you know, your eyes go to the TV and your heart's beating and you feel like you're the one competing. Like that's what you want.
Right. Exactly. Especially, and we've mentioned this so many times, the new broadcasting opportunities this year, the finals are going to air on ABC. So we have the opportunity to get this thing on way more eyes than we would ordinarily. You want them to stay tuned through the end. You don't want there to be such a discrepancy that everyone gets bored and turns the channel. If we are all pursuing the same goal of growing this sport, a tight, competitive postseason is what we all need. So pulling for that. And just real quickly, a couple other team notables. We had touched on the Oklahoma-Michigan meet last week. We had high hopes for Michigan. Obviously, they didn't get the win. Oklahoma won 198-1 to 197-425. But honestly, I think that says a lot about Michigan. A 197-425 on the road at Oklahoma, and it was their senior night, i.e. Maggie's senior night. Like you just you know about the other variables associated with this one. That's just the reality of the sport. And they still got a really solid road score. And so their NQS now goes up about 0.2 after competing against the number one team in the nation. Like, I think that's a win.
That's definitely huge, especially going into postseason. You're trying to see where you're going to end up in the regional seeds. And that's huge for them. No surprise here. Maggie got a 10. Again, but she got on vault. And during senior night, that's a special feeling. So that's really exciting for her. I know to close out LNC like that at the LNC, that's really exciting. And I feel like part of her is like almost expected to do that. But, you know, I'm kind of surprised that the judges didn't pull for like the perfect 40 for her, because there's always,
I don't know
if fans or judges are like joking when they say like, it's always been Kyla or Maggie's going to get a perfect 40. And like, they've gotten pretty dang close before. So I was kind of almost like expecting something like that. But Maggie got the 10 on vault. Also, so they have a senior, Bree Showers. She is, from what I can just tell about her, she seems so just a beautiful person, super bubbly personality. It's just a light on the team. She's always smiling. She has dealt with a lot of injuries. And I know at senior night, she didn't compete because of an injury. And they showed her, one of her routines, I think from like freshman year or something, I don't know, on the screen. So everyone got to watch, the team was watching like mid-meet. And I thought that was just super special that they included her in that and just made her feel like, hey, like we see you, we know what you bring to the table. Like it's more than just gymnastics. Like you are such a leader. And I love that, just because I've been in that hot seat of being on the sideline, and it sucks. It sucks. I can't imagine being a senior and knowing, hey, I'm not going to compete at my last meet that I should be competing, you know? So that was really cool of OU to do that.
I agree. I thought that was pretty special. And the other one I wanted to mention, Alabama defeated Georgia. And obviously that one has so much history. Alabama-Georgia has always been a heated rivalry back to the Sarah and Suzanne days. So that's always one that fans get really into. Georgia, unfortunately, is struggling with limited depth right now, which honestly, we've seen that in years past. I mean, like there have been so many times where they only compete five in a lineup. And I don't understand why that is, because I think this program has the makings to get back to the powerhouse that they were, especially with Courtney Kupetz-Carter at the helm. So I'm unsure why they still seem to find issues in that regard, but they really had a rough bar set. They had to count a fall, and Marissa Oakley was unable to finish the routine. And I mean, if you start off that way, it's really difficult to come back from.
Yeah. And I mean, having your team have to watch your teammate get injured, that shakes you up too. That's scary. You, not only are you thinking about in the moment, oh my gosh, is she okay? But you kind of have a glimpse into the future, like, oh gosh, like who's going to replace her? Or like that that kid that's been training alternate spots, like, oh crap, I'm in. Like those are the thoughts that are going through your brain, and you kind of forget where you are in the moment. You kind of forget, hey, we need to refocus, and you almost feel selfish about it, but that is part of the team sport. You've got to be like, okay, you know what? She's injured. She's okay. We're glad she's okay, but we now need to move forward. We now need to refocus. We need to get in a good headspace, because none of us can get hurt now. It does shake you up. So for them to have to regroup and finish out the meet, I mean, that's really hard. That is a very hard task to do.
Agreed. I think Alabama has kind of been what past Alabama teams have been. I was unsure about them at a certain point of the mm-hmm. season, but they have been pretty steady and kind of quieter. And teams, Alabama teams in the past that have done that, they usually turn it on come postseason. So
yeah,
my eye is going to be on this Alabama team. I think sometimes they intentionally are pretty slow and steady in regular season because they have April as their goal. So I'll be interested to see what they're able to put together. But there were a lot of perfect 10s this past weekend. A lot of judges were feeling generous. McKenna's got that list, so why don't you go ahead and run through those?
Yeah, so we've already touched on Maggie on vault, Rachel Gowie and Trinity, and Sierra. Again, not a perfect 10, but a perfect score of a 995. We touched on this when we broke down vault. Yurchenko Fool starts at a 995, so for her to get that stick, she was perfect. We had Ona Loper for the Minnesota Gophers. They were at NC State. She got a perfect 10 on vault, and it was absolutely beautiful. So that was really cool for her. Who else did we have? We had Kyla on vault. No surprise there. I saw the Jim Turnette was saying because of, you know, UCLA, they compete. They don't always compete on Fridays. They kind of compete throughout the weekend. That meet was actually on International Women's Day. And someone said something like, International Women's Day showing up for Kyla, or like, no surprise, Kyla gets a perfect 10 on it. Yeah, I mean, classic, I feel like. That makes sense to me. And then Kim Tessen from Utah also had a perfect 10 on vault. So there's a lot, again, a lot of good gymnastics, a lot of big gymnastics, this week. And I mean, I think there's a purpose for that. I think, you know, the schedules are purposely made going into postseason, trying to get you in the best place possible. Great job to the girls this weekend. That's always a really good feeling.
Couple fun facts on those. For Kim Tessen, who is a senior at Utah, that was her first career 10.
That's awesome. That's so fun.
Isn't that why? That surprised me, though. Like, I hear her name so much, and she's been a staple at that Utah program. I was very shocked that she hadn't gotten a 10 yet, especially when you take into the consideration the insane crowd environment at
That's
Utah.
True.
I mean, I was surprised by that.
I do want to point out, I think, I don't know, I think in the past couple years, let me actually complete a sentence here. I think in the past couple years, the perfect 10 has become like a Girl Scout badge. It's like people are just trying to get 10s, and I feel like it's almost kind of lost it, how sacred it is and what a perfect 10 encompasses. And of course, like, when you have gymnasts like Rachel Gowie and Trinity Thomas and Maggie Nichols and Kyla, like, those are gymnasts where you're like, yeah, okay, like, they were literally in the elite world, like, Olympic route girls. Like, they can do perfectly sound gymnastics, but it's hard for the rest of the country to look around and be like, okay, well, mine was really good. Where's my 10? It's like we've almost become, we're expecting it. So for gymnasts like Kim Tessen, I think she is talked about. I think she's well known because she's constantly consistent. She does her job for Utah. I don't think you need a perfect 10 to be like considered a legend or like whatever the title you are looking for with a 10.
Absolutely.
You know, and I think with the elite status, those gymnasts, they have a lot of pressure. And judges, I mean, we talk about judging bias all the time. I think they have that stigma too. Like, oh, she's definitely going to get a 10. So that doesn't help either. But again, I'm not discrediting Kim's 10. Like, she 100% deserves it. If she's getting a 10, that's awesome. But I'm saying, like, I don't think you need a perfect 10 to be considered memorable or a really good gymnast.
We had that conversation with Kathy Johnson-Clark a few episodes ago.
Yeah,
where she echoed that sentiment. She was saying, there's rarely a perfect 10. I mean, Kathy's tough now.
Kathy's very critical.
She does not see perfect 10s as often as they're given, but you do understand the value of them in the terms of viewership and fandom, and judges know that too. Do you want to guess what number this was for Kyla? How many career perfect 10s she's had now?
Oh, gosh. I feel like it's not going to be as many as I thought, because she is always getting 9975s, like always. So
yeah.
Oh gosh, what, 15?
22.
Oh, y'all, I mean, I got one 22. And that was the best day of my life. 22?
Yeah, oh, 22. Lord. And honestly, I will guess she'll have 25 when all is said and done.
Oh, Absolutely.
If not more. She's not done. Let's be real.
No, she's not done till that final routine of the national championship.
100%. I just thought that was crazy. Okay, well, speaking of really established, successful gymnasts, let's go ahead and bring in our guest. Like we mentioned at the beginning, the wonderful Jordan Weber is going to be talking with us all about her competition days, now her coaching days at Arkansas. She's got a lot of wisdom that she's passing on to this young athletes, and we are lucky to get a glimpse of that here today. But before we bring her in, I want to tell you guys a little bit about Simply Safe. With home security, there's two ways you can go about protecting your home. You can wait weeks for a technician to do a messy install that costs a fortune and takes all day, which none of us have the time for that. Or you can get Simply Safe, the two-time winner of CNET's Editor's Choice Award. Simply Safe blankets your whole home in safety. Outdoor cameras, doorbell alerts, to you or anyone in your family that lives in the home about someone that's approaching your door, which I think is really cool. Entry, motion, glass break sensors guard the inside, and you can set up the system all by yourself, and it only takes 30 minutes. You'll have an army of highly trained security experts ready to dispatch police in a moment's notice 24/7, and this thing is 50 cents a day with no contract. You can end it at any point you want. So go to simplysafe.com/team today and you'll get free shipping and a 60-day risk-free trial. You've got nothing to lose, people. Go now and be sure you go to simplysafe.com/team to get the 60-day risk-free trial and free shipping. Once again, simplysafe.com/team. All right, everybody. Well, we certainly have a treat for you this week. We are going to bring in our awesome guest, one of the most accomplished gymnasts in U.S. history and now head coach for the Arkansas Gymbacks. Everyone, welcome Jordan Weber. Jordan, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. We really don't need much of an intro for you. I mean, you really have cemented yourself as one of the most successful and respected U.S. gymnasts, and obviously such an exciting opportunity for you becoming the head coach in NCAA. We're going to talk all about that, but I do want to start with your days in competition. You really experienced so much that the sport has to offer. When you reflect back, what are maybe some experiences or opportunities that really stand out to you as kind of preparing you for this coaching opportunity?
Oh gosh, it's so weird to think back on my gymnastics career. It feels like forever ago, but it wasn't that long ago. it's actually funny. I did gymnastics for a lot less time than a lot of other athletes did. I retired at 18 years old. Which is crazy. And then I kind of shifted into college and then eventually coaching. But, just like I feel like anyone would say this, the moments that stand out to me the most were the really, really tough times, the injuries, the failures, the times I fell in competition and had to come back on the next two events, stuff like that. Those are the things that kind of stand out to me, the moments that I had to be resilient on a really big stage in front of a lot of cameras and on national TV, which is hard to do at a young age. And I think that really allowed me to mature at a young age and grow up really fast and develop some resilience. And then that's kind of transferred into life. And so I've always felt a little bit older than my age, which is why I think I started the head coaching career a little bit earlier. But I think I have gymnastics to blame for that one, because, you know, just there's so many hard things you have to go through. And it's really rewarding when you do get through them. But it's a hard sport. I mean, everybody can agree with that, I'm sure.
Definitely. I have to admit, Jordan, there was one beam routine you did. It was like 2009 Tyson. It was literally perfect. You stuck actually every skill, like from mount to dismount. And I used to go back and like watch that all the time to like motivate me to like get me going when I was younger. So like, first of all, just thank you everything that you've done for this sport, from your own gymnastics career, how you handled things that came your way, and then what you're doing now, just with the direction the sport is trying to go. I think people like you we need people like you. And it's just, you're doing such a service to the sport. And I know gymnasts from all over, like, you are helping rewrite that. So I just want to thank you for that.
Thank you. You're so sweet.
No, it's true. It's true. You're helping kind of restamp what this sport is and that there's so many good things to come from it. But I have a question in terms of coaching. Did you ever see yourself, growing up anyway, or even to when you got to UCLA, how did you get to UCLA and find yourself in that coaching position? And then did you ever see yourself as a coach?
Yeah. So when I was a little bit younger, I was getting recruited to do college gymnastics. And my top three schools were UCLA, Florida, and Alabama. And just like any young gymnast, I kind of went through phases of which one was my favorite.
Right.
And then when I went to the World Championships in 2011, at that time, UCLA was my top school. And I ended up doing really well at that competition. I came out as the world champion, and that kind of changed everything for me, especially being the year before the Olympics. You know, I was kind of seen as one of the top athletes who was, had a really good chance of making the Olympic team. And so I was getting calls from a lot of agents and sponsors and just kind of overwhelmed with, just pressure to either go professional or not. Right. And so I was kind of faced with that. I was faced with that decision the year before the Olympics. And, I was really torn because growing up, my two goals in the sport were to make the Olympics and to be a college gymnast. And I wanted to do college gymnastics so bad. I grew up going to the Michigan State gymnastics meets, and I was like a huge fan. I loved it. And so it was not an easy decision. And it's pretty risky if you think about it, especially before the Olympics. I mean, there was a chance I could have gotten injured and not made the team and lost my eligibility for college. But I just sat down with my parents and really talked about it. And I also was talking to Tasha Schweiker at the time, who was working as a sports agent and was a gymnast at UCLA. And she called me and said, you know, there's a way that you can go to UCLA and still be a part of the team, but not do gymnastics. And then you can still go professional. And so I called Miss Val and I asked her if there's a way I could still be a part of the team. And she said, absolutely, you can be a team manager. And I was like, great, awesome. I have no idea what that means, but I'm going to do it. And so I ended up going professional. And that's kind of how I ended up doing what I did throughout the Olympic year, and then ended up going to UCLA. And I actually said, specifically, I don't want to be a coach for a long time.
I understand.
Yeah. And I always thought, okay, I've spent my whole life in the gym. I'm not going to spend the rest of my life in the gym. And then I got to UCLA and I started to see just the amazing environment that is college gymnastics. And not only that, but just, you know, Miss Val has a way of just impacting people's lives through gymnastics. And a lot of times, you know, she just uses gymnastics as a tool to teach people life lessons and mentor them and help them grow. And I started to see that, you know, even if I did spend the rest of my life in the gym, it can be more than just about gymnastics and being covered in chalk and all of that. So I started to see that, you know, the impact that she had, and I wanted to do the same. And she, my senior year, she asked me if I wanted to be the volunteer coach. And so I was like, you know what, I've got 1 year left of college. I'm going to challenge myself and see if I can do this coaching thing. And I very quickly just fell in love with it.
Wow.
I mean, I just think you and Miss Val were such a duo. Talk about like motivators. I would be all in. We had her on the show a couple weeks ago, and I was ready to run through a brick wall. She is so inspirational, and she speaks with such conviction. And I just think that that's such a special opportunity to have kind of had her as a bit of a mentor and then kind of find your own identity as a coach and continue that through. But really, you've experienced so many things that I think just make you such a well-rounded coach. You really can relate to so many different things that young gymnasts are probably going through. Like you mentioned, some of the injuries you've been through and things like that. And obviously a lot of people go back to your experience at the 2012 Olympics. I mean, talk about a testimony of perseverance and mental toughness. I mean, you're basically having to go through a bit of a heartbreak from the mm-hmm. dream of the all around, and within a matter of hours, still work to attain the dream of the team title. Talk a little bit just mm-hmm. about that experience and how you were able to find the mental fortitude to achieve what you did.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was hard. You know, you have this one goal, this one dream, and your whole life. And then not only that, but just being the world champion coming into that meet,
right.
Everybody was talking about it. Everybody kind of expected it of me. And then sure. at the same time, I put a lot of pressure on myself. And, you know, it still kind of irks me, the rules, you know, the two per country rule, I'm not a huge fan of, and I've made that pretty well known. but you know, it is what it is. And I look back and I think, you know, if I had qualified all around and gone on and, you know, my life would probably be totally different now. So I'm grateful for that experience. And I definitely wouldn't be the person I am today if I hadn't had to go through that 2-day span of figuring out how to go through one of the biggest disappointments of my life. And then, you know, muster the courage to come back and compete for the team. And, you know, as soon as I stepped in that arena for the team competition, it wasn't hard anymore to keep going. It, you know, I put all of my focus on my teammates, and, you know, I look back on that and I really think that's when I realized I was always better with a team setting than an individual sure. setting. And I look back on all the meets I competed and I always did better in the team competition. And it's weird now. I think that's what led me to college gymnastics, because it is, you know, the most team oriented arena that exists in gymnastics. And I preach it to our girls all the time now, but when you experience a fall on an event, or you're having a bad practice on an event, or something happens, you have to figure out how to pull yourself together and come back, because it's not about you anymore. It's about the team. Right. And that's something that I can really speak to, because it's exactly what I went through in London. And mm-hmm. So, I mean, there's a lot of experiences like that, you know, especially with injuries and, you know, some body image and weight stuff that I had to go through that I feel like is really relatable to this age group, mm-hmm. that I feel like I can kind of relate to them with.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
That there's so many, and I think that's what's so cool about the sport, is you learn so many life lessons that you can carry with you outside mm-hmm. of the gymnastics setting. I mean, you've touched on a few. So you were born and raised in Michigan, right?
Yes.
So you went from Michigan to California, and now you're in Arkansas. What was the shift mm-hmm. from the Pac-12 to the SEC like?
Mm-hmm. Oh, it's a lot different. You know, just as soon as I took the job, I was handed our 2020 schedule, and jeez. I took one look at it and I'm like, okay, here we go. And yeah. our first meet was at Florida. And then yeah. we had, which was, you know, obviously the ranked number 2. And the second meet was Denver, which is like a number 4 or 5 team. And then the third meet was Oklahoma. And I'm like, okay,
This is
awesome. And that really, and I knew the SEC was a competitive conference, but as soon as I took a look at our schedule, I'm like, you know what, this is a lot different than what I'm used to. You know, when you're in the Pac-12 at UCLA, you know, obviously our biggest competition was Utah. And then, you know, occasionally, you know, we'd have some big meets against Cal and Oregon State, but it wasn't anything like the SEC. And it's intense. It's competitive week after week. There's no down weeks whatsoever. But I actually love that. I'm probably one of the most competitive people in the whole world. and so I love that. I think it pushes our team to stay up and stay motivated and get better each and every week. But at the same time, we encourage them, don't think about the opponent. That's not really how our sport works. We don't play defense. We just go in and do our thing and be the best version of Arkansas that we can be.
Exactly.
And that's the only thing we're in control of.
I totally agree with that. I have a television background. I've worked with ESPN and the SEC Network for several years, and I have told McKenna, Arkansas is actually one of my favorite campuses to go to. Fayetteville is so cute, and I think it's a hidden gem. People don't necessarily think of it, but when you go there, mm-hmm. like everything is fantastic, and the people are great, and I know that you've made it your mission to be really active and present around the community and the campus, and mm-hmm. I just am curious what this whole whole thing has been like for you? Because this is essentially a role as far as the publicity side of it. That's something that you're familiar with, but now you're doing it in a capacity of trying to get people to buy in and trying to pack the arena and really build some new fandom around this gymnastics program. What has that been like for you now knowing that you represent this team?
Mm-hmm. It's been really fun. You think about Arkansas, I totally agree with you. It's this kind of best kept secret, I think, in the in the country of what this place is like, because it's really special. And I had my I had my idea of what Arkansas was like before I got here, and I was so wrong.
Totally.
And it's much more fun than people anticipate. But you know, the cool thing about Arkansas is that, you know, we're really the only team in the whole state. There's no other professional teams. There's no NBA or NFL teams.
Yeah.
And so everyone in this state is a Razorback fan, and you can feel that as soon as you step foot in Arkansas, which is really, really cool. So we're not competing against a lot of other big teams in terms of events. And then for me, you know, I kind of think back, and we focused a lot on marketing and promotion at UCLA. And I also kind of have learned a lot about other programs and how, you know, especially a program like Utah, how they started. They're basically, Greg Marsden was basically the godfather of NCAA gymnastics and building that crowd in their arena. And he did that by going out into the community and recruiting people to come to the meets and handing out season tickets and all that. So I'm kind of taking bits from what I've learned from, you know, Miss Val and at UCLA and just from other coaches and trying to build a bigger fan base here. And we've got the perfect area for it because everybody really gets excited about Razorback sports. But my goal is to grow that crowd. And right now we're competing in a gymnastics and volleyball arena. And my goal is next year to try to get into that basketball arena and try to fill up a bigger crowd. So that's one of my goals among many, but it's fun getting people excited and getting out in the community and meeting everybody because the people here are really awesome.
That's so important, them getting that face to face, you know, seeing who they're going to be supporting and who they're going to go watch. Postseason is right around the corner. This means more qualifying meets, more pressure meets, obviously bigger arenas and neutral sites and podiums and all the lights. What does training look like for you guys going into postseason?
So I feel like our team's at the point where, you know, our routines are pretty much set. We've got our lineups for the most part set, with a couple of exceptions. And right now, I feel like for us, postseason is a mental challenge. It's all about going into any arena at any time, on podium or not, and being able to do our job. And that's something we're really challenging this team to do, I think, differently this year than they've ever done, is really focus on the mental side of the sport. They're used to doing a lot of numbers and just relying on that to help them feel confident in the meet. And, you know, we're obviously working around some injuries just like any other team is. And so we're trying to get them to understand that the mental preparation is going to be even more important than the physical preparation as we kind of go into the postseason. But at the same time, we're going to get creative in practice, especially between SECs and regionals, to figure out how we're going to manage back-to-back days, because that's our goal, is to qualify on that second day of regionals. So it's definitely, every day is a mental challenge. We're trying to get our team to be really efficient, not waste any turns, because that builds confidence, but at the same time, it saves your body. So just every day being super intentional about every single turn they take and then coming together even more as a team to just be super connected and walk into any arena feeling invincible.
Absolutely. And we've talked about it on this show so many times, just about the brilliant decision on Arkansas's part to bring you in. I mean, Rome wasn't built in a day, but the foundation that you're already setting and the progress that you're already seeing in that program, I think it's really exciting to think that Arkansas is heading in the direction and already achieving what you have. Real quickly, Jordan, before we let you go, you know, we kind of mentioned already that you have been and continue to be a representative for this sport. And you're very vocal about the changes that need to be made, the progress that needs to be seen. And you've really been privy to some of the darkness and negativity that can be included in gymnastics, unfortunately. As you've grown and matured and now in a coaching capacity, what more do you think still needs to improve in the sport of gymnastics? What do you see as kind of your mission to encourage change in the sport?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's still a lot of things that need to improve, but I think the number one thing that you know, I feel really passionate about is kind of changing the definition of what makes a good coach. And that's something that I have the ability to really show and practice every single day in my job. But there is a way to motivate and create change in athletes and motivate change that's not mean or degrading or yelling or pushing people through injuries that shouldn't be pushed through. And you know, I saw an environment like that at UCLA with Miss Bao as the leader, and she's my mentor and she was my teacher, and so I'm taking a lot of the same philosophies and using them with my program here at Arkansas. And so you know, if we can redefine what makes a good coach, I think our sport will be way better off. And you know, you think about some of the abuse that's happened, it really has happened because of the culture that exists in gymnastics. Because of the power dynamics, because of some of the other kind of deep-rooted philosophies from other coaches of how they think they need to motivate athletes and get the results that they want. And I'm on a mission to prove that you don't need to do that, that you can create champions with positivity and, you know, motivating change in a good way. That doesn't, you know, create negative effects for athletes later on in life, because, you know, it would be much easier to come in and coach by dictating. And that's an easy way of coaching. The harder way of coaching is to figure out what motivates each athlete and to motivate change instead of dictating change. And that's a challenge every single day. And I think if more coaches can develop that philosophy, then our sport is going to be much more positive and better off, and we'll avoid, you know, more abuse in the future, and gymnastics will be on a better trajectory than it has been.
Yeah. And it's not a one size fits all method. It really takes investment and time in the individual athlete to kind of learn more about them and know the person, not just the athlete. And I think that's such an important emphasis. And if anyone can blaze that trail, it's certainly you. Jordan, thank you so much for joining us, and best of luck as you continue your coaching career.
Thank you so much. Appreciate it.
Well, everybody, that wraps it up for us this week on Chalk Talk. Thank you so much for listening to us each and every week. As always, make sure you subscribe so you never miss an episode of the High Flying Action. A lot of good stuff on the horizon, NCAA and Elite, and we're going to be covering all of it. So for McKenna and myself, thank you for listening. We'll talk next week.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.